This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name is Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say once again I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport and Fraser Wilson, the Dream Team. All right, boys.
How are we getting on? That's not fair for
wee Scotty
sick bread.
No, okay. So Scott McDermott was meant to be joining us, but let's. So, and actually, Andy and Fraser, that was going to be my introduction. I was going to say that this international break has been a bit, I mean, it's been dragging in, but during that international break, I've read a piece on the Daily Record website from Scott McDermott, who was in annual leave and chose to go to Benidorm to watch Cheltenham. And it was a great piece he wrote on how it saved them money just with the rising cost of Cheltenham accommodation and tickets and price of a pint. So that was an annual leave. So he had that piece on the website. And then he came back off annual leave. And the next piece I read from him was in Amsterdam. And then this morning he calls off the podcast because he had a flu.
So, any storm in Amsterdam, no wonder he's not feeling well.
A week in Benidorm and then Amsterdam, that was work, to be fair. Work.
My heart bleeds.
Work.
And listen, Dav, I'm full of the cold and I've barely left Cambus Lang the last 2 weeks, so I've got no sympathy for him.
What did we hear his colleague Mick Gannon talking about in that video before the game last Friday night? Was it hash cakes or something they've been partaking in? Maybe that's why he's not feeling so well. We go over there, of course.
So I'm just reading his message. Sorry, but I think I'll need to give the podcast a miss. I've been loaded with a cold since getting back from Amsterdam, and he's feeling lousy. Poor Scott. Okay, incessant coughing, throat. Oh,
blah, blah, feeling.
Okay, so anyway, we've got a bit of night nurse, and hopefully he'll be back for next week. You can read these reports. You can read his report from Ibrox from a Hibs game in the Sunday Mail on Sunday, all being well. If not, Fraser, you'll write it for him, will you?
I'm at Petonia this weekend. So
you might have to come off the bench. Anyway, so international break, has it been dragging in for you, Andy?
Yes. I'm a big Scotland supporter as well, so I'm not one of these guys that finds international breaks too tough to deal with, but only when it's competitive action. This friendly nonsense, I'm not a great fan of that. I was glad when UEFA sort of did their best to sort of scrap friendlies and obviously replace them with the Nations League, which adds an element of competitiveness to it. And then, it was a fairly encouraging Scotland performance on Friday night for the first 70 minutes, and then obviously we'll spell off in the last 20 minutes, but I think most of us are looking forward to get back to the real stuff this weekend.
Yeah, and of course, what has made it even longer for Rangers and Rangers fans is the fact that the Dundee game at Dens Park, which was supposed to take place, would have been the last Scottish Premiership fixture before the international break, was of course postponed. Parts of the Dens Park pitch were waterlogged, So let's start there, Andy. The game was called off, has since been rearranged. At the time, there was two free midweeks, one before the Celtic game at Ibrox on April 7th and one after. Of course, Rangers sitting a point behind Celtic now. The game has been rescheduled for April the 10th after the derby. What do you think? What was your thinking before that? Did you think get it played first or run the risk of injuries, or try and get the points in the bag? What would have been better?
I could see the arguments for both. Obviously, I think clearly it was the way that the decisions panned out, wanted it to be played afterwards on the basis that, it's one less game to squeeze in before the derby, less risk of injuries going into what we all agree is probably the biggest game that they've got coming up. On the basis that, you know, you just don't want to risk having, you know, there's enough injury concerns going about. So I could see the reason why he would want it to that. For me, there was part, I could also see why, you know, obviously they've got the chance to go back top of the league level on games played with Celtic this Saturday, but then obviously Celtic playing the Sunday and can go back ahead with a win at Livingston. So was a part of them that they think to go into that Old Firm game knowing that they were, you know, level and certainly games played and possibly top on points? Or, you know, now if they obviously both teams win at the weekend, you know, they'll be going at the game at Ibrox behind Celtic, a point behind. So part of me could see that maybe they want to go in, you know, having played the same amount of games, but listen, at the end of the day, they've got to play the game sometime. I just think with the way that the pitch is Dens Park, sorry, maybe they're thinking, give a, you know, there's obviously another risk of a downpour and, you know, perhaps the game goes off again. Maybe if you wait another week till some of the nicer weather comes in, that perhaps that might just allow to take away the risk of another call-off. But, I mean, I think Rangers get every right to be unhappy about the situation in general. I mean, here we are in March, games getting called off because of waterlogged pitches. The only game in Scotland that day that suffered that fate, fourth time it's happened this season. It's just not good enough, is it? I mean, you know, we've seen a number of clubs in the top flight recently who have had problems with their pitches, but have went to the expense of paying for it to get them sorted. I'm thinking about Mullow, I'm thinking about Hibs. You know, these are teams that have had issues with their pitches in recent years, and right now they're in far better state than Dens Park. And I think you've just got to say that Dundee need to get their house in order with this situation. They need to invest in a pitch, they need to get the drainage sorted, they need to bring it up to scratch. I just don't think it does Scottish football any good having a situation like this, and I can understand why Rangers would be frustrated by it.
Yeah. Fraser, it's so long since Rangers played in the league, or it feels so long ago, going back to that, you know, that the Motherwell game, the defeat, of course, and then had the Cup game, and they had, you know, Europa League. Hibs on Saturday, you know, that Dundee game was cancelled, postponed the gate, you know, the players have had a break. What are you expecting on Saturday?
Well, it has to be nothing but a win for Rangers, isn't it? I mean, is that back-to-back defeats at Ibrox, Benfica and Motherwell? To go a third game out, a victory, even a draw, just would not be acceptable to the Rangers fans. So, aye, the pressure's on then. They absolutely need to win that one. Hibs, in terms of Hibs, I mean, Hibs have probably got the fastest front line in the whole top flight. So, I think, like, it's key that Rangers don't concede the first goal, because if Hibs manage to get their noses in front, then back and just playing the counter, they could be a really, really, really dangerous force. However, having said that, Rangers have steamrolled them pretty comprehensively this season, haven't they?
Yeah, including Philip Clement's first game, of course.
Aye, 4-0.
Hibs haven't scored a goal against Rangers this season in three meetings. 4-0, 3-0, 2-0.
Well, we can read that either way, couldn't you? Are they due one? I don't know. That's just... If Rangers perform the way they have against Hibs this season, I think there will only be one winner.
Long overdue one, Fraz. Is that more?
What's that?
Long overdue a goal. I mean, is that a more?
If you believe in that kind of thing, but you might have thought that in the cup game the other week. So I don't believe in any of that nonsense. End of the day, Rangers need a win. They've got key men coming back. They should be stronger than they were a couple of weeks ago, which, by the way, I think is a point about that Dundee game being rearranged. Rangers, all going well in the rest of this international break, should be in a stronger position in terms of players available, especially if what we read about Ridvan Yilmaz is true and they should be back for the Celtic game. So yeah. I think things are coming together for Rangers, and Clement could soon have the strongest squad available that he's had available to him since he came in. So that's got to be a positive.
We'll come to the Yilmaz one in a bit, Andy, because I know it was your story this morning. But Fraser, just to talk about that, you know, the Celtic game and the psychology of it. I mean, so much rides on that, doesn't it? I mean, we're talking about the Dundee game and played after. You know, assuming Rangers beat Hibs and Celtic beat Livingston, and they're going into that game. You know, if Rangers win it, you know, and go a couple clear, and then they're going to Dundee and they can be five clear. you know, the flip side, you know, if they lost it and they're behind, you know, and then they're going to Dundee needing to win, it just changes everything. It just changes the whole running, that Old Firm game, the outcome of that Old Firm game. So much hinges on it psychologically.
Kind of forget there's another one to come after it, but obviously this one, being at Ibrox, is a big one that they really want to. If Rangers can win that one, they're in a really strong position, and that's what the supporters will be knowing. I think it's more the supporters and the players that start looking ahead to this game and this game. As soon as the Rangers players cross the line for any game, including Hibs this weekend, their minds want, it might sound like cliches, but their minds can only be focused on what's in front of them. And at the end of the day, there's pressure in every single game. If Rangers lose to Hibs this weekend and then beat Celtic the following weekend, you know, there's no much difference there. So every single one of these games that are left for, is it 9 games left for Rangers? Yeah. The pressure, all right, an Old Firm game obviously brings a different level of pressure with it, but there is heightened pressure in every single game now. And that's brilliant. That's what we want. A proper title race for the first time in years. It's what we've all been crying out for.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the difference. I mean, I'm thinking of that Wednesday night, Den's Park. I mean, it's, you know, that kind of, it's that kind of fixture, but it's tricky. You're either going into it, you know, two clear or four behind. Do you know what I mean? Or you
I
know.
I'll just be glad you've no wearing a Rangers strip, Gav. You sound like a bag of Jaggies.
The psychology of these title races fascinates me. You know, that's what I'm just thinking. You know, if you go there and it's like you need to win to be one behind, you know, do you know what I mean? Or you need to win to be five clear. It's just
great.
The contrast in that is, you know, is massive. It's massive. You're going there with a totally different mentality. If you've won the derby and you're going there, and it's like, you know, you need to win to be five clear, and then there's only six games left or whatever it is. You know, the finishing line's almost in sight. Whereas if you need to win just to still be a point behind, it changes everything. You're suddenly saying, God, you lose this, and the title could be slipping away.
Every game, the pressure maybe cranks up that a bit more. If they lose, Saturday, that pressure cranks up a bit more. If they lose to Celtic, equally so. So I think it's still to reach that stage where we can read too much into what's coming next. I think it's just one step at a time.
Yeah. Okay, Andy, you, as I said, touched on earlier, you had the story in the back page of the Record this morning. Obviously, Reid van Nieuwmaas was injured for Turkey playing against Hungary, I think. Was it Hungary? Hungary. He came off after, I think, 18 minutes.
27 minutes.
Oh, 27 minutes, okay.
Is it the details that matter here? Come on.
I know you're the Turkish correspondent. Okay, but you have a story this morning saying that he is hopeful that he could be back for the Celtic game. I mean, he looked as if he was on his way out in January. He stayed, and what a decision that seems to be, because he has been flying since January. How crucial that he's back for the game.
I mean, I think he's arguably been one of Rangers' better performance, if not their best performer, since the turn of the year. I mean, none of us were surprised that there was these links with him going back to Turkey in January, just given the way his Rangers' career went up until that point. You know, he just never really managed to establish himself. You know, he'd been in and out of the team, injured, sort of disrupted him. I think we'd seen flashes of the ability that obviously Gio van Bronckhorst and his scouting team had seen when they went to bring him in, when was it, 18 months ago, just over that. But never really seen that consistent on a consistent enough basis until sort of January time, December. He came in just, you know, back end of December, you know, obviously kept his place in the team, which I thought he was doing well to at that point, because I generally think Borna Barisic, up until that game at Kilmarnock recently, is played probably as well as he has done in his Rangers career. He's been fairly consistent this season. So the fact that Yilmaz was, you know, outperforming him at getting the team, I think, was an encouraging sign for Philippe Clement. And then you can understand why the big Belgian's been desperate to keep holding him, because he's been terrific. Again, this knock, it's just a concern, because he has had his injury issues since he's come to the club. And it would be a concern that, you know, that's him down again. But, you know, I'm led to believe it's not a severe issue. It's the player himself expects it only to keep him out for sort of 7 to 10 days. So that would obviously rule him out against Hibs this weekend and allow him perhaps to come back in ahead of the Celtic game. I think that would be a major boost for the manager, just on the basis that he has played so well this season. He's really... You know, it looks like he's shown the form that encouraged Rangers to go out and spend that £3.5 million on him. As I say, in 2022, I think it was. So, for me, I think it'll be good news if he does make it. If led to believe, as I say, as he's confident, you can't be too sure in these things, but he is confident he can play. As I say, if it does turn out to be he can't play, then, you know, the options are, you know, Barisic or maybe even Adugia and Sterling. I still think the manager would go with Barisic. Just, you know, end of the day, he had a poor game at Kilmarnock, but I think otherwise he's been very good this season. But I think, you know, if he can go with your strongest team, and, you know, the manager obviously not had that, you know, available to him an awful lot this season, just with the number of injuries he's had to contend with, you know, I think he'll be very pleased with that. So he'll be keeping fingers crossed that we Radvan is back fit for the certainly Old Firm game in April the 7th.
Yeah, because the other thing I was going to ask you, Andy, you probably know this being the Turkish correspondent, but I mean, what's also the story is that Borna Barisic has now agreed a deal in principle to go to Trabzonspor, obviously contract up at the end of the season. There's been a bit of debate whether he should be offered a new one. We don't know whether he was or he wasn't, but reports are that he's now agreed in principle to go to Trabzonspor. Would you have any concerns over that if Yilmaz wasn't fit, about playing? I'm not just talking about the Celtic game, I'm even talking generally. If Yilmaz isn't available, how focused is he going to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a concern, isn't it, when a player's sort of starting to tie up, moves elsewhere. Are they going to put their body in the line? Are they going to throw themselves into challenges? I think at the end of the day, if Yilmaz doesn't make it, as I say, he's confident that he will, but if he doesn't, then what other option they've got? It's either that, playing Dujon Sterling a sort of out of position. Although, I mean, there's a piece that I did with Alex Neil in the paper yesterday. He was talking about how they played him there at left back at Stoke last year. He's played a couple of substitute appearances at left back this season as well. So, you know, he has an option. It's not his natural side, obviously, but he's certainly never let Rangers down any time he's been in the team this year. So, you know, there is options for Clement. I still think he would go with Barisic, just on the basis that, you know, he's Croatian left back, you know, for most of his time at Rangers. He's been first choice for them. So, I think you just got to trust that he does it. If there is any doubts, then I suppose it would be Sterling that we could put in there. But then again, that might leave other positions bare in the midfield, given just the way that Rangers' luck with injuries is going lately. And the way that Sterling performed at Celtic Park in the centre of midfield, I would think that he would be coming into consideration to start there again. So I thought he was arguably Rangers' best player that day, and what was a disappointing day back in December, I think.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, now, Fraser, well, let's just touch on the women's success at the weekend, getting the first trophy of the season in the bag. Comfortable win over Partick Thistle at Tynecastle to retain the Sky Sports Cup. Someone in the record hotline said today there will be British football history made because the men's and women's team will both win the treble. What do you think of that? Has that ever been done before? Sorry, you put you in the spot. Record breaking.
No.
Come on,
I know. Good research, great factoid. Thanks for that.
I think I would stick my neck out and say there's no way that's been done. Men's and women's team both to win the treble. But anyway, what summed up... There's a bit of work to be done, that's true. But what summed up the international break, or did it sum up the international break for you, was a furore over the... Now, did you do Ryan Stevenson's column yesterday? You might be able to shed some more light on it. Did you speak to Ryan Stevenson for his column? Did you ghost like it?
Yes.
So, just... basically, there was a row, wasn't there, which came sort of hours after the game on Sunday, wasn't there?
He's working at Andy.
I'm just enjoying this.
But when photos have emerged of the Rangers badge placed over the Hearts badge in the dressing room, obviously Tynecastle being used as a neutral venue. I think quite often in stadiums, teams will kit out the dressing room, won't they, and their kind of own branding and maybe inspirational slogans around on the walls. But Hearts took exception to this, saying there was an agreement that that wouldn't happen. Rangers have slapped a badge on there and an almighty row kicked off. But many people were saying, or certainly the people that I heard talking about it, Tam McManus and Neil Lennon too, albeit... ex-Hibbies, I suppose, so maybe it's no surprise, thought it was petty from Hearts, and then Ryan Stevenson, ex-Jambo, in the Daily Record column says today, no, it was out of order. Can you understand the fuss?
It's all a bit daft, isn't it? There's more important things going on in the world. But I've got to try and understand it. Starting off, if I put myself in Hearts' shoes, okay, especially Big Steve-O, who bleeds maroon, he'll tell you that. Cracking big guy, so much time for him.
Yep.
Surprised me yesterday with his take on it. I only mentioned the kind of outrage, and I was half expecting him, or maybe fully expecting him, to say Hearts need to kind of get a grip. Mm-hmm. However, he completely took the other angle on it. Steve-O took us back into the dressing room, and the badge has always been on the floor in one form or another. And he just told us how, I mean, you've probably read it. Told it how they used to circle around it ahead of games. Mm-hmm. How Gary Locke and Billy Brown would go tonto if anyone dared step over it with their boots on. He said it's sacred in there. So if you see it from Hearts' perspective, was there any need to put a Rangers badge directly over the top of it? It's maybe slightly cheeky. They certainly... Maybe it was an own goal, publicising the pictures of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting Brandon. It's meant to be a neutral venue for 5 or 6 hours for the day. So there's no problem with the clubs putting a Brandon around the place. Maybe the positioning of it right on top of the Hearts badge was slightly out of distasteful. I don't know. I'm struggling here. I really do think it's a hullabaloo about nothing, but... so long as Rangers lifted it and left the dressing room in a tidy order, then there's really not much of an issue. Maybe the badge could have been placed elsewhere. But apparently the exact same thing happened at the cup final last season. Nothing was said about it, which maybe says it all. Just to be fair to Steve, he reckons that's a kind of sacred emblem in the home dressing room. And it's almost just been kind of...
just a bit naughty.
Maybe is it a wee bit like kind of... ultras behaviour when you see these stickers and lampposts, I don't know, but a Celtic fan, a Celtic, what do you call them, Green Brigade, sticking a sticker over a lamppost outside Ibrox, something like that. I don't know, but you know what, it's all a bit naff.
Yeah, okay, and the other issues, let's just round up international week. John Souter came on, 4-0 defeat by Holland, did really cover himself in glory. Difficult, I suppose, circumstances coming on in a game like that and against quality opposition. Ryan Jack, obviously still not fit enough to be included. What do you think, John Souter and Ryan Jack, be on the plane to Germany?
I think there's still plenty of time for John Souter, and I think John Souter... yeah, I mean, listen, get thrown on. How often do you see teams changing their back four, especially their centre-backs, mid-game? It doesn't happen all that often. usually the centre backs are the guys that are guaranteed to go the 90 unless they get injured or they're having a howler. So getting thrown on in that position, as you say, against a very good Holland side, is difficult. And you know, one momentary lapse where he just sort of didn't shuttle across to the right hand side, and obviously that allows Holland in for the second goal, and from there things sort of went from bad to worse. But I look back at his performance against Benfica at Ibrox when it was a disappointing night for Rangers, obviously going out of Europe to that single goal defeat. But I thought John Souter was tremendous that night, especially the first 45 minutes. He read every bit of danger. He was, you know, good in the air, good in the tackle. His distribution of the ball was great. So, you know, I'm a big fan of John Souter. I think he's got a lot to offer the national side. Obviously, there's some injury issues in the back. Scott McKenna has obviously not played all that much football, given his situation at Nottingham Forest. Now at Copenhagen, had to pull out. Grant Hanley, I think, is out of the squad. Am I right with that? I mean, I certainly still think there's a place for him in the squad. I think Liam Cooper's sort of been out of the Leeds team as well. So, you know, John Souter, you know, given that when Fluke first came into the Ibrox, he seemed to be favouring Leon Balogun and Conor Goldson, but, you know, John Souter's performances, he's managed to play himself back in. I would still think, yeah, he's done enough to merit a seat in the plane to Germany. As for Ryan Jack, you know, again, I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's a terrific footballer, a terrific servant to Rangers, but, you know, what Steve Clarke named at the minute, a 25 or 26-man squad. He's going to have to trim that down to 23. You know, obviously, you've got Callum McGregor still to come back in, who I think will be a shoo-in as well. I just think Ryan Jack's injury record is going to count against him. He's just not played enough this year. Every time he comes back, he seems to break down again. And unfortunately, I think that might just count against him. You know, if you're going to a tournament, you need to have guys that you can rely upon. You need to have guys that you know, are going to be dependable in terms of being available to play every game, to train every day. So I'm not sure that might work against Ryan Jack, I'm afraid. As I say, I think when fit, he's a terrific footballer and, you know, a real quality addition to Scotland squad. And, you know, we saw that, you know, 3-4 years ago in Belgrade, where he was part of a team that went over to Serbia and get, you know, obviously that all-important result that took us to the Euros 2 years ago. So
Andy, yes. that is the crying shame about this, isn't it? Because he was at the PK's game there, and then injury robbed him of the last Euros. Crying shame.
And robbed him apart in the title running when obviously Rangers went on to complete that title win in 2021. He missed the final 2-3 months of the season, and, you know, missed out on those, you know, scenes of celebration in the dressing room. You know, obviously we'd have been in there, but just in terms of having been on the part and knowing that you'd be part of the team that crossed the line. So, and then, I mean, the one Ryan Jack performance that always sticks out for me is, I mean, he'd been out for, you know, 6-7 months, maybe in fact close to a year. He came back against Dortmund in the Westfalenstadion, been out, had barely kicked a ball for a year, and came on, and he was up against Jude Bellingham and, you know, a very good Dortmund side, and absolutely ran the show over there. And for me, that's the sign of him when fit, what he's capable of. It's just been a shame that he's never actually been able to, since then, really be able to maintain those levels. And I think that, unfortunately, is just going to count him out of the Euros this summer, which, as Fraser says, is a real shame.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fraser, just to finish off, one man who looks almost certain now not to be in Germany, it looked as if he had a chance, was Jack Butland. Obviously expected to be named for England's friendlies against Brazil and Belgium, was then left out, came as a bit of a surprise, but then even worse to come Sam Johnson pulled out and James Trafford called up. Burnley's James Trafford, albeit promoted from the 21s, he's conceded 62 goals this season. I mean, could you believe it?
I wonder, sorry, Gav, I just wonder if that's just a convenience thing. You know, Jack Butler's away in the morning with his family.
Yeah.
Already at St James's Park training with the 21s. I just wonder, I don't know what Fraser thinks, but I just think, I'm not sure I would look into that one too much. I think it's just easier. You know, Jack Butler's away in holiday. We've seen the pitches away with his holiday.
Yeah.
You've got somebody sitting in the opposite pitch, just drop them in. They're going to play anyway.
Yeah, okay. To be fair, I think you're right. I think it's not uncommon that if somebody gets injured in this situation, that is what England, you know, tend to do. So are you with Andy on that one then, Fraser?
That's a fair point, right? And Andy's probably bang on there. But the simple fact is no in the original squad, it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. I hate getting my knickers in a twist over anything to do with England, but I'm in a twist over this one. I cannot believe Jack Butland is not in that squad. I mean, we're going over old ground now, but he's at the very least the second best option England have got, if not the best option. How many of those goalies have played at a high level or performed at a high level in Europe this season? Only one, Jack Butland. He's performing week in, week out in the Scottish Premiership. He's probably at the peak of his powers. And I bringing in a youngster, James Trafford, it might be a stopgap. And it might be looking to the future, but the fact is, Butland's only just turned 31. It should, for a goalkeeper, he should be reaching his peak years. They could have another three major tournaments out of Jack Butland, at least England, if they got him back involved. But now, to me, it looks like Southgate will not consider him. It looks like his England days are done. And again, I said it before, it just looks like complete and utter snobbery towards the Scottish game, regardless of Southgate. I would like to hear a proper explanation of why he didn't choose Jack Butlin for this squad. I'm flabbergasted.
You tell him, Fraser. Christ, what?
I could not give a... I know it sounds like I care, but I didn't.
What a passionate rant that was, Gav.
That was so passionate.
Aye, well.
Jesus. So passionate.
I'm
done.
Take a break.
Just calm down for us. Take a break. What a way to end. Well, I hope Scott's listening to that as he's lying in and out of consciousness.
Oh, God, Southgate's listening.
Exactly. Right, Fraser, Andy, thank you very much, both of you. And we'll reconvene next week after the club action. The all-important club action is back. And we'll see where we are next weekend, how the Scottish Premiership table is looking. Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Bye.